All right, let's bring in James Sharman from Sportsnet into this conversation. James, what is going on, my man? How excited are you about the Champions League now that the draw is done?
I tell you what, it's looking pretty good, isn't it? There's some really tough groups there. And, you know, it is the best football tournament in the world with respect to the World Cup and European Championships and the Premier League. It is the best. It's the best quality football. It's the best teams. We generally see some pretty good attacking football as well. I can't wait to see some of these groups, some real groups of death here, and I just don't know who's going to emerge as a favorite.
Well, and that's a really fascinating thing to look at. And if I'm looking at Manchester City, for instance, right? I mean, this is a team that is the favorites to win the Premiership title, and now they find themselves in a pretty easy group. And how beneficial is it for a team to be in a group where they should be favored quite handsomely, and you don't have to play your top players in all the group stages? How much can that help this team to try to get that double of winning not only the Premiership domestic title, but also the Champions League?
It's a good point, because at this point in the year, you need to start rotating your players, because you have the Premier League, the Champions League, you have the League Cup now starting as well around the same time. City have a number of injuries to their squad as well. So ideally, you have an easier group phase, so perhaps you can rest some players if need be. But that being said, you look at Group F with Man City, and there with Shakhtar Donetsk, who played them last year and played them really well, good footballing side. Lyon in France, a strong side, and Hoffenheim, superbly coached, a really progressive side as well. So as much as there's no big player outside of City in that group, there's no gimme here either. And I know Pep Guardiola, you know, he's coached in this league for so many years. He's won it a number of times. He's been burned a number of times too. You just cannot take any team for granted. So, you know, it's actually a dangerous group, it's Group F, because there's not a bad team in it. You know, there's not a great team outside of City, but there's not a bad team in it. So I'm sure he'd be happy overall. But, you know, as far as resting players, he might rather rest players in the Premier League, I think, at this point, than maybe the Champions League.
James, it's a tough time to be a Man U fan, and we'll get to the upcoming EPL matches here in just a second. But staying with the Champions League, Group H, Bic, our resident Man U supporter, he's a lifelong Red. He doesn't even think Man U is likely to get out of the group stage. Do you concur?
Well, I tell you, Group H, you have Juventus, who might be the pick to win the entire tournament this year. If Ronaldo can find his scoring boots, I mean, he's gone two games without a goal, right? I mean, watch out. The decline's on, everyone. But you have Juventus, you've got Valencia, a very strong Spanish side, and you got young boys at Bern who shouldn't be an issue really for any of these sides. United often get an easy group in the Champions League. They've got a real history of being drawn in a gimme, so it's nice to see them being given a tough one for once. So much depends on how this team progresses the next few weeks. We're not quite sure what they are, you know. I know we'll get to the Burnley match coming up this weekend. It's a huge one for United, given what happened on Monday, losing to Spurs 3-0. Given all the hyperbole around Jose Mourinho, all the press conferences, his antics, is he on the verge of being fired? So much can happen between now and when these games become meaningful. So it's hard to say. But on paper, if you remove what's happened the last two or three weeks, just look at paper, look at the squads, the teams, then United should be thinking they can get through Valencia and advance. But I think Juventus is very much the team to beat in their group.
Hyperbole. James, respect, man. Respect. He's one of the greatest managers in the world. What are you talking about? No, obviously.
Just ask him, man. Will he just stop doing that, by the way? I tell you, he did it again today. Today, he's quoting philosophers.
Oh, no.
And he's asking journalists, do you study any philosophers? And, of course, we're sports reporters, right?
Right.
So, of course, they're saying no. And he starts quoting Hegel, saying that the whole is the truth. And then that basically judged me for my entire career, not what's happening now. So he's lashing out at reporters. He lashed out at them on Monday as well. And when Jose Mourinho begins to lash out at everyone, it generally means that the writing is on the wall. He's kind of given up. So it's going to be a fascinating few weeks, I think, regarding him and that club.
Always nice to lean back on rhetoric when you don't have much else. Maybe Jose has given up his time here in Man U, but do you feel like the players have given up on him?
It's possible. I mean, Paul Pogba isn't happy there. He's the talisman. He's inconsistent. You do look at the performance against Spurs, though. And in that first half, they actually played really well. They actually moved the ball well. They were better than Tottenham Hotspur, who are a very good side. But then in the second half, it was individual errors once again that cost them. And as much as I want to hammer on Jose Mourinho here, and he's got a lot to shoulder the blame, at the same time, when his veterans, Chris Smalling and Phil Jones and these players are making boneheaded moves, at the back of the defense. I mean, you can't really blame all that on the coach. So have they just given up on him? Are they playing out the string? You know, it's week three of the season. I mean, my word, if that's a case, that's a real concern. I'm sure some players don't like playing for him. And I'm sure if they look at their neighbors, you know, at Man City and the way the players play with smiles on their faces, playing that expansive football, if they look across to Liverpool, the way that that team plays, fun, free soccer, Spurs the same way, you know, Barcelona, the best teams in the world nowadays play attacking football and they play with a smile on their faces. And then you get United, who still play a very methodical, a very tactically strategic defensive style of football. And you wonder, do the players want to play that style? Do they want to play for Jose Mourinho? So it's a good question to ask, you know, have they quit on him? I hope not this early, but there's some performances out there that just haven't been up to top billing.
Well, I mean, they're taking on Burnley this week. If they lose against Burnley, what happens? Is that the final straw there for Mourinho?
It might be. It's interesting because Burnley, this time last year, you know, they were playing great football. They had a great season. There would be a tough challenge for any side, but they've struggled too this year. They just crashed out of the Europa League to Olympiacos this past week. So that's probably a good thing long-term for them because they can't really compete on all the fronts. But so far this year, the weekend after a Europa League match, they've really struggled. So It's a weak Burnley at the moment. So, yeah, if United, you know, mess up against Burnley this time around, then maybe that will be the last straw. I just don't know. You know, Mourinho gets paid a lot of money. I believe he's the highest paid manager in world football, as close to it. He signed a new contract quite recently. So if they fired him, they'd be on for a lot of money, a lot of pay and severance. So they're a team right now that are really counting their pennies, so to speak, both in the transfer market and outside the field. So would they want to fire him so soon? I'm not sure. It might be a little bit early, but certainly it'd be more crisis for United if they lose.
We're talking soccer with James Sharman from Sportsnet here on Sportsnet 650. And, you know, Liverpool is in the group of death in the Champions League, which... I guess when you look at it, and it's easy to say, well, you know, Liverpool is going to be the club that doesn't get out of that group when you look at the fact that, I mean, right now, I guess you would say Napoli's good, PSG's probably right ahead. So do you think they get through that group C? I know you're a Liverpool supporter, or do you think it's going to be a bit tough?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I'll take my fan hat off here.
Right.
And I really believe in this squad. They've made some really nice signings this offseason. They got to the final last year, of course. And look really good getting there. So I think they can get through this group, absolutely. PSG is a team with the pressure, let's be honest here. What they've spent the last number of years, they have to make some noise in this tournament. They can't just keep winning the French League. So it's all about this tournament. So that's enormous pressure on Thomas Tuchel and his team there, which maybe that'll weigh heavy on them. Who knows? Napoli, again, still a great team. They were superb last year, but they lost their manager, of course, in the off-season. Now it's Carlo Ancelotti, who knows Liverpool really well, knows English teams really well. It's a great group. And then lurking in the weeds is Red Star Belgrade, a team that no one's talking about because they're obviously tiny compared to the other three teams. But they might steal some points, and that could be the difference here. So I think the Reds can get out of this group. I think they'll be really good. But if you look at their schedule coming up, it's just insane around this first round of Champions League games. After this weekend, there's the break, of course, the internationals. They then play Tottenham. They then play PSG. They've got Southampton thrown in there. Okay. Then it's back-to-back games against Chelsea in the Carabao Cup and the league. And then it's Man City. So, I mean, my word, that could be a defining month for this team right now. So I imagine they will focus on that PSG game, number one. But it's going to be a fascinating tilt. And, you know, I think any of those three teams could be going through. One very good team is not going to.
And when we look at the EPL right now, we have Watford, who sits fourth on the table, winning all three of their first matches. We've seen Watford get off to good starts in the past. Is this just one of those things where they're off to a good start, or can we look at Watford and say maybe they're going to be a dark horse who's going to stick in the top 10?
Well, yeah, it's a good question, because you look at their performances, and listen, they played some pretty average teams so far. The schedule's about to get much tougher. We're going to learn about this side, but We know they can score goals, and under Javi Gracia, they play a nice brand of football, but they're actually playing very well defensively as well. And that counts for a lot for teams that prior to the season you'd think at best would be playing for a mid-table spot, certainly not a European spot, which is what they're doing right now. So I think this might be quite sustainable. They lost Richarlison in the offseason. That was a big name they lost, but this kid, Pereira, I'm not really a kid now, he's a pro, he's a veteran. Pereira's done a great job thus far. After having a couple of two disappointing seasons, if he can maintain his goal-scoring prowess, Watford will be a good team to watch this year. They're not going to, you know, compete for the Champions League. Right now, you know, they're not going to go 4 or 5 games, you know, win streak to start the season, I don't think. But I don't think it's a complete fluke, even though it's very rare for 4 teams to start the campaign so well.
Well, something's got to give here because Watford will take on Tottenham. And the Spurs are, by the way, a team that I've recently adopted as my club. I'm going to try and support them throughout the season and get my hands into more EPL action this year. But the Spurs, Watford, what do you suspect is going to happen here? Is it Watford with that surprise story continuing here, or do the Spurs simply have too much quality up top?
Yeah, they really do. I mean, they're playing decent football as well, and they're finding ways to beat the real superpowers as well. In the last couple of years, Spurs have been a really good story. You know, they finished second place, third place. They've played a nice brand of football. It's been a big step for them, but they haven't played well against their major rivals, and they've lost against the top six on many occasions. So beating United, as Harry Kane said after the match, you know, it's a big statement win for them. So it's really important, I think, those 3 points and the way they got them. So I think they'll handle Watford. I think Spurs are the real deal. Now, there's some concern with their depth up front. If Harry Kane gets hurt, watch out. You know, who's going to replace him? I don't know. But in a player like Lucas Moura, who signed last January, didn't do much for the number of months he played at the end of last season. But really, so far, this campaign has been just brilliant. He came from PSG. He was highly regarded a few years ago from Brazil. He looks great. So they have added depth to a certain degree, despite not signing any players during the summer window. So I think Spurs will be just fine. But listen, Champions League is approaching for them too, right? They find themselves against Barcelona and against PSV and Inter Milan. I mean, that might be the group of death, even more so than Group C. So it's going to be good to watch. But yeah, if you've got to pick a team, I don't blame you picking Spurs, you know. They've got a nice new stadium they're moving into at some point,
right,
we hope, although it's been delayed. But, you know, they're a young team. They've been together now for a number of years, and they're playing the right style of football.
Yeah, they've got that Korean connection for me with Son Heung-min being there as well. Last week, James...
We hope he is anyway, right?
Yeah, that's true. Maybe the military service will have to kick in. Hopefully not, but we'll keep an eye on the Asian League games here in just a second here. Last week, James, you identified the Wolves as being a match that you were very interested in over the weekend. What's your marquee matchup for this week? Is it the one we mentioned, or is there something else here for you?
You know, I think Spurs-Watford is obviously very interesting, but early on, I'm going to say this because I'm hosting it and it's really early on Saturday morning, Liverpool against Leicester. Leicester have actually played Liverpool really well in recent years. Now, they're missing Jamie Vardy, who's been a Reds killer in recent years, but I want to see how Liverpool perform on the road against a good team, because so far this year, they've won 3 straight games. They're yet to concede a goal, but they haven't been quite the same attacking force as they were last year. Now, that might come. There's a lot of issues with Mo Salah off the field, and the Egyptian FA and him are feuding, but he's got 2 goals so far. But I want to see how they perform on the road against a team that's going to be competing for probably Europa League spots this year. So Liverpool, Leicester, and like I said last year, guys, just don't go to bed. Stay up out west and watch this one.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I'm just disappointed you didn't say Chelsea, Bournemouth, but I mean, I'll forgive you. It's okay. I'm just kidding. All right, James.
Hey, that is a good game, though.
I can't wait. 7 a.m. tomorrow. I'll be up bright and early watching it. You got it. All right, James, always a pleasure, my friend. Enjoy the action this weekend, and we'll talk more EPL and Champions League very soon.
I look forward to it, guys. Take care.